G-Dad, what's the number one question Jake and Gino community members ask you?
Hey, Gino, what's a good deal?
And what do you say?
You're just going to have to watch the video.
Jake and Gino here, and today we're discussing how to blend your buy right criteria with the three pillars of real estate. Gang, we typically discuss median income, population growth, job growth, crime, property, vintage, unit mix, cap rate, cash on cash return, so on and so on, all while, you know, building up what your buy right criteria should look like. Super important when investing in multifamily. But today, Gino has a special lesson prepared on viewing the buy right criteria through the lens of the three pillars of real estate. So, Mr. Gino, shed some wisdom on us, brother. How do you apply the three pillars of real estate to your buy right criteria?
Jake, when I'm looking at a deal and I'm talking to potential new students or even just new students out there, the first thing they ask me when I start talking to them is, what is a deal? Or even more specific,
what's a good deal?
What's a good deal? Well, they say to me, Jake, they say, hey, I need deal flow. I want deals. That's my biggest problem. And I'm like,
Or is this a good deal? Right?
Yes. I think the biggest problem that they have is they don't know what a good deal is for them. And they don't know the market cycle. They don't know when to buy a specific deal. Because a good real estate investor, like a good stock picker, someone who buys stocks, makes money when stocks go up and they make money when stocks go down. And it's the same thing in real estate. You need to know the three pillars of real estate. The first pillar is market cycle. The second pillar is debt. And the third pillar is exit strategy. I'm going to hold up Creative Cash here for everyone that's on YouTube. If you want a copy of Creative Cash, this is where the debt market's going in the next, 12 to 24 months. Owner financing is coming in vogue. In this book, we dive into the three pillars of real estate. We dive into seller financing and master lease options as well. You can email me, gino@jakeandgino.com, for a copy of it down below in the comment section. Just hit us up. Say, hey, Gino, G-Dad, shoot me a copy. I'd love to shoot you guys a copy, because this is really the crux of where most investors make mistakes, especially beginning investors, even investors who have been doing this for a while. You don't have your buy right criteria set up, first of all. And even before that, you don't have a market selected. So what does your market look like? Where are you selecting? Where are you analyzing deals? When you're first starting out, don't pick five or six or seven markets. Hone in on one market, become an expert in that market, and start creating your buy right criteria. Like Jake had mentioned, we like a certain type of median income, certain type of unit mix, number of units, population growth, job growth, amenities in the asset. Those are some of the buy right criteria. More importantly, you have to focus on, number one, when you're underwriting a deal, I think you really need to hone in on what the exit strategy of the deal is. Is it all about flipping the deal? Is it all about holding the deal for long term? Or is it about refinancing the deal? So that will tell you on that third pillar what the second pillar should look like. What is the debt look like on this asset? Are you going to go for long-term fixed rate financing? Jake likes to call our deals down the fairway, those fanny deals where you're just buying for momentum. There's cash on cash return on this deal. You like it. It's a stable asset. That may be a long-term hold where you're just buying long-term fanny agency financing where it's fixed for long-term. That's what the exit strategy is on that deal. Well, if you're buying a deal that has a value add component to it and you need to flip out of that deal after a couple of years and refinance it or sell it, maybe a shorter term product in the debt markets is what you're looking for. So understand the exit strategy, understand what the debt component is with that exit strategy. And I think one of the more important ones that we most often overlook is the market cycle. What part of the market cycle are you in? I'm going to take it down memory lane. Jake and Gino buy our first deal in 2013. That was buyer's market. That was a huge opportunity for anyone out there buying deals. There was a lot of risk. Assets were very cheap. Rents were very low. GDP was low. Consumer sentiment was in the toilet, and you couldn't raise money. But there were deals out there. you know, fortune favors the bold. For those of the people that bought assets back in 2013, 14, and probably early 15, those are the ones we're in the buyer's market. So we understood those kinds of assets. We're buying older assets with a lot more deferred maintenance. We're getting a greater pricing. And if you're fortunate or you're long-termism, what Jake and I did, we locked them in for long-term. We fixed them up. We didn't sell them. Refied the property money out, and we repurposed that money into the next deal. We got these deals on the conveyor belts. And that conveyor belt, as we talk about it, Jake and Gino, just kept working and kept churning. We kept stacking assets. Understand what part of the market cycle you're in. That will dictate the type of asset. Now, as the market cycle gets longer, you're shifting from a buyer's market, or when we started, it was really the recovery, but the recession is the first part. Then it's the recovery. Then it's expansion. Then it's ultimately hypersupply. And every market is unique, specific. You can have a market in Memphis. It's totally different than what's going on in Nashville, right? So you have to understand the market cycles of the market that you're playing in, that you're investing in. Now, for us, where we are, we're probably between expansion and hypersupply right now. So we're buying assets in this part of the market cycle that are newer. Unless we can find assets with the pricing that are older, that we know our budget and we can take care of this property with, you know, CapEx that is not going to exceed what we're putting into the property. So let's say, for instance, you're buying a property that we bought back in December. The cost basis of this property was $65,000 per unit. Now, that's a good price for two bedrooms in Knoxville, but the deal was significantly challenging because it had a lot of capital expenditures. We budgeted, we knew where the capital expenditures were going to go. Let's say we had to put an additional $15,000 per door. We didn't, but let's say we did. We're at a blended rate of $80,000 per unit on a two-bedroom property in Knoxville in a good area that we really want to hold these properties. And we're looking at rents. Once we reposition this, we are estimating rents to be around $1,000. So we're all in at $85,000 per unit. We have this property that's going to give us $1,000 a month in rent. Now, that was awesome. The only reason why we bought, my friend. It's even better than that. But let me explain to you. We bought the asset. It's an older asset. So our buy right criteria says stay away from that asset because it's older. But we're able to pivot and to say, if we can buy this at the right price, we'll buy it. So it's really important to understand the market cycle and what's going on. And more importantly, our exit strategy wasn't to flip this property. We had an exit strategy aligned with get short-term financing, fix this property up, refinance the property out, and take the proceeds and go do it to the next deal. So understand where you are in the market cycle. That will dictate your buyer criteria. And more importantly, your buyer criteria is pretty fluid. Because as you become more experienced, you may not want to look at older assets. A lot of our students who have started out with older assets all of a sudden understand what ROE is. It's return on effort. That 25-unit property that has, you know, a great price, but the residents may be a little more challenging. Hey, I don't want to deal with those anymore. I've done those. Let me start leveling up, selling those assets off and getting newer assets. So for you listening to this show, think about selecting a market, number one. Number two, read Creative Cash. Understand what the three pillars of real estate are. Understand what market cycle is. Understand what debt is. And the third component, the exit strategy. Know where you want to do with this asset once you buy it. It's very important that you need to know what the exit strategy is. And in the third part, start underwriting deals and start putting in offers. And then finally, once you have all that knowledge, start formalizing and crystallizing what a buy right criteria is for you today and revisit that buy right criteria every month and see where you are in the market cycle because it will change. I mean, it can change so quick because let's say interest rates shoot up again. All of a sudden, assets become a lot less cheaper. You may want to go into older assets because you can buy them at a better price point, but you have to be able to understand that buy right criteria is crucial because once you have that, you know what to focus in on. You know the conversation that you need to have with your real estate broker, and you know the conversation you need to have with your team as far as what kind of assets you're going to be targeting.
I think the interesting thing that you said about the three pillars of real estate is that the exit strategy is determined by your debt. And you left it there. And if you're an early investor, the reason for that is prepayments. Prepayments with Fannie and Freddie can be really just, you know, crushing to the returns in the deal if you do what's called yield maintenance, okay? There's step downs. You know, we're not going to get into that too much today. You can listen to some of our older shows where we really unpack that. But the exit strategy is basically determined, you know, at the time of purchase, because you need to know what the prepay is going to be if you plan on selling. The cool thing that we've done, and you know, why our strategy is so fluid and successful, is that we buy for the long term. Gino talked about this asset that we just bought that was built in the early 80s. Well, we left a few things there. We left the brick. We left the studs. And now everything else is brand new. So we have, you know, really a beautiful new complex that's just crushing it. And we thought the rents were going to be $1,000, now they're $1,400. Look, not that doesn't always happen, but it worked out really well for us. We bought in the path of progress in a stable market that we knew really well. So ultimately, what we do is we go in, like Gino said, we buy one of these assets with a community bank. The benefit to the community bank is they're super flexible on the prepayments, and that's a huge, you know, advantage, because if you're going in with Fannie Freddie, they're not going to be. In addition to that, you can get loan to cost. And so that gives us the ability to go in and do these renovations with the bank essentially financing the renovation. 80% loan to cost has been tremendous for us. So we go in. The downside is that they're recourse loans, but we have a great track record with them. And when we're buying right, when we're buying, you know, these assets at $65,000 per unit, we're feeling pretty confident in our ability to turn them around. It's like I was joking, you know, Gino said, well, now they're renting for $1,000. We're into them for 80 or 85. That's very easy math when looking at the 1% rule. You're 15% above, you know, your all-in cost for the asset to get to that 1%. So I think ultimately, gang, it's very clear when you're doing a strategy like ours, where you're holding it for the long term, your plan to exit is simply to send it out to Fannie or Freddie. Ultimately, once we buy it with the community bank, we may refi it once with the community bank, get a little cash off the table. But long term, when it's stabilized, we'll then send it off to the agencies and hold it for the long term. And then, you know, ultimately, when that 10-year term is done, we're probably going to refi it again. And that's just what we do. So it's clear to us. But if you're new getting into this, be careful of your prepayment. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways, because it can bite you in the booty. But gang, look, you want to get around like-minded people, Multifamily Mastery 5, that's our event. You want to really dial in your buy right criteria November 5th and 6th in sunny Orlando, Florida. Gino's hosting a concert. He's doing a conference and a concert all in the same weekend. Going to be singing some opera. We are going to be bringing the pain, have biggest names in real estate attending. So love to see you there. JakeandGino.com/MM5. And as always, we believe in buying deals with the ability to hold for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. And we make it happen. Till next time. Thanks, Gino.
Get involved in multifamily. This is where you need to be.
The team you've built is incredible.
There is no egos here. Everyone is always looking to help the other person.